tweet at SAFM Radio and at Songezo Mabethe.
We're back, we are live, we're on SAFM. Monday, public mini lecture. And this evening, the question is the role and purpose of credit ratings agencies. Every first Monday of the month, The Viewpoint from now on brings you a public mini lecture on issues of national interest. Today, of course, we have the Sovereign Africa Ratings Agency's Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya, who will be delivering a mini presentation to you, the SAFM audience, on what are credit ratings agencies, their role to get a better understanding on what a credit rating is or credit score is, how such scores are determined, what is considered when scores are being determined, who benefits from this, who wants to access this score, and what decisions are made on the basis of the score. And we'll also unpack the different score levels and their respective implications. Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya is the COO of Sovereign Africa Ratings. He is now going to speak to you. As you do know, please drop us voice notes on 0614 104107. Drop voice notes, please. 0614 104107, under a minute, no background noise. As the point you wish to engage comes to you, please drop a voice note, because after half an hour or so, we will then engage those thoughts. If you are inclined to call, please note the number 086-000-2032. At about 2040-2045, Zweli will hand the platform back over to me, and then we can have an exchange with him in relation to the points he would have made and whatever clarity you might seek or further engagement on what he would have said. Zwelibanzi, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to SAFM. The presentation is now due and the audience are all yours. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me as well. By introduction, my name is Zwelibanzi Maziya, Chief Operating Officer of Sovereign Africa Ratings. So, to begin, we'll define what a credit rating is. So, what a credit rating is, it's an opinion on creditworthiness. That is, it describes the rated entity's ability and willingness to meet its financial obligations or pay what it borrows. Ratings are conducted for entities such as corporations, energy, telecommunications, manufacturers, financial institutions such as banks, as well as insurance companies, project finance, sovereign governments, as well as sub-sovereigns such as metropolitan cities, municipalities, and so forth. So credit ratings come in the form of a ratings report, which is typically a document containing information that has been assessed to inform the ratings accorded. The ratings are usually presented in as alphabets or as numbers. It depends on the rating scale used by the specific credit rating agency or CRA. But basically, these are levels of creditworthiness, or levels showing how well the rated entity is able to pay back what it borrows. So in terms of the rating scale, it can begin from AAA, which is the highest level of the investment grade, and then it goes down to the AA's and then the BBBs. And at BBB-, that is the end of investment grade. However, the BBBs, those are the lower end of the investment grade levels. And then once you go below that, you get to the BB+, and all the way down to the B and C, triple C, as well as D for default. Those are non-investment grade, or what is popularly known, referred to as junk or junk ratings. So rated entities get these ratings from CRAs, and then they use these ratings in debt capital markets when borrowing for funds. There are credit ratings in regulations as well. These are for institutions that use credit ratings for what is called regulatory purposes. So, for example, the Collective Investment Schemes Act, which regulates fund managers, dictates that certain proportions of their portfolios or the monies that they manage These must be invested in high investment grade institutions or securities, and vice versa. They should invest a smaller proportion into the non-investment grade, or sometimes it's called the speculative grade. So those would be securities that have lower ratings than the investment grade ratings. Also, in terms of the Banks Act that regulates banks, there are capital adequacy requirements for them. So when a bank invests in low-rated securities, they need to put aside more money as security against such an investment. But if the rating on that security is high, then the bank will only have to put less money aside in terms of the capital adequacy requirements. There are big three rating agencies from the United States. They're quite well known. This is your S&P Global Ratings, your Moody's Investor Service, as well as Fitch Ratings. And there are also many other smaller ones around the world. And each rating agency provides rating services for different types of entities, some specializing on financial institutions, some on corporates, and some providing the rating services for all types of rated entities, as we mentioned them before. Our Sovereign Africa Ratings focuses on sovereigns. As time goes on, we will provide rating services for other types of rated entities. Ever since the financial crisis of 2009, credit ratings have been regulated. And just to give a bit of perspective of what happened on the United States financial crisis of 2009, we had a situation where commercial banks would be issuing mortgages to people. And I'm really simplifying what happened here. They would be issuing the mortgages to people. And part of that process, they have to assess whether the individuals that are qualifying for these mortgages will actually be able to pay back in terms of the mortgage itself. And then what would happen is that the commercial bank would collect all these mortgages that it issued to individuals to purchase their houses, and take this debt books and sell it off to investment banks. Now, investment banks at the time already knew that the commercial banks were no longer doing the proper due diligence to ensure that the people who actually qualified for those mortgages are actually able to pay them back. So they knew that these securities are no longer investment grade hands. The crisis is called the subprime crisis. What happened was that the investment bank would take these debt books and get these rated by the rating agencies. And the rating agencies would give your AAA type of ratings, which are called prime credit ratings. However, the debt books were actually subprime. Hence, it's called the subprime crisis. So it's for that reason that credit rating agencies had to be regulated, is to prevent such behaviors. The well-known regulators are the Securities Exchange Commission from the United States, the European Securities and Markets Authority in Europe, as well as others globally. In South Africa, credit rating agencies are regulated by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Sovereign Africa Ratings, GCR Ratings, S&P Global Ratings, as well as Moody's Investor Service are licensed by the FSCA to conduct the credit rating services in South Africa. So these regulations ensure that credit rating agencies manage conflicts of interest and appropriately structure their organizations by having the appropriate governance structures as well as controls. So back to Sovereign Africa Ratings, we set to provide fair and unbiased credit ratings to emerging markets, starting off with African sovereigns, as we are African ourselves. In our analysis, and this basically just explains the approach that is taken by credit rating agencies, So in terms of conducting a credit rating, a CRA would have to develop methodologies as well as models. Now, these documents and frameworks are intellectual property, so the methodologies, they differ from one rating agency to the other. In terms of Sovereign Africa Ratings, which is the one I can speak to, we assess all factors traditionally analyzed by other credit rating agencies. However, in addition, in our reports, we include an opinion on the economic potential of the issuers that we rate, considering their structural nature, which includes natural resource endowments. And as we know, African sovereigns, as well as many others in the emerging markets, are quite rich in terms of natural resource endowments. In doing this, we will assess the beneficiation levels and the related potential, among other assessments of creditworthiness. Our rating reports, therefore, don't just stop at providing an opinion on the creditworthiness or just the ability to pay, but they are also intended to encourage the rated issuers or the sovereigns that we rate to increase their beneficiation from their natural resource endowments. And this results also in the investing community having access to more information that they can consider in their investment research. And I'll stop there.
Well, that was the mini lecture. Quite truly, thank you so much, the Chief Operating Officer at Sovereign Africa Ratings, Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya. Now, we do have the best part of 32 minutes and a half to engage this. So there's certainly plenty of scope. We are going to get deep into this, as deep as 32 minutes probably allows. We've seen one or two voice notes coming through, and we certainly will. I will moderate this conversation. I'll ask one or two questions to bring more of the listeners in. For those who have joined us, I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the hour, certainly at the beginning of this lecture. Every first Monday of the month, the Viewpoint Show brings you a public mini lecture on issues of national interest. Today, we have just heard the lecture by Mr. Maziya of Sovereign Africa Ratings Agency. He's the Chief Operating Officer there, speaking to us about what credit ratings agencies are, their role to get a better understanding on what these ratings mean, how they are determined, what purpose they serve, for who. We also unpack the different score levels, ratings, and their respective meanings. For those who do want to join us, please participate in this conversation, 086-000-2032. That's the number to dial. If you want to drop us a voice note, please do 0614-104-107. And at the same number, you can send your text. After this ad break, we take calls, comments, questions, and we put them through for Zwelibanzi to engage in greater detail. After the break.
The Viewpoint on SAFM.
We are back, and Zwelibanzi and I shall now be in a greater and finer and deeper conversation about some of the issues he has raised. Now, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority earlier this year, 22 March, in fact, approved the license application of Sovereign Africa Ratings Pty Ltd to operate as a credit rating agency from that time. The approval is in terms of Section 5 of the Credit Rating Services Act, Sovereign Africa Ratings Limited is based in Centurion, South Africa, and is authorized to issue sovereign ratings only. Now, let's talk about, first of all, the institution and what it is empowered to do, because you are March to now 7 minus 3, or 10 minus 3, 7. You're 7 months into the role. Just tell us more about the institution that you represent and some of the work you're already seized with, and if any scores have been released, having viewed at some of these entities in the country or outside the country, how that journey is coming along, so that we can further unpack some of the issues you presented earlier.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Sonia. So we received the license approval in March from the FSCA, and we have launched on the 23rd of September. And during that launch, we issued our first credit rating. As you have noted, we are licensed to issue credit ratings on sovereigns. It also includes sub-sovereigns. And we issued the first one, the unsolicited rating on the government of South Africa. It was at triple B long term and B plus short term. So we've done quite a lot of work ever since acquiring the license, and this included finalizing the methodology that we use. It's also published on our website, that's at www.saratings.com. And we've established quite a strong team as well. We have nine-member board, as well as a ratings team. And as you know, when it comes to entering the regulated industry, one has to ensure that all the structures are in place, as well as the control mechanisms that the rating agency has to have. So we have done all that. But the work actually began even before we received the license, because there are requirements that you have to meet before you can even receive that approval from the regulator.
Let's talk about the fact that you have rated South Africa triple B plus long term. Is that correct?
Triple B long term.
Triple B long term. That, generally speaking, means lower medium grade. Tell us about the respective score levels. So you mentioned prime early on. There's prime for triple A, and then there's high grade for AA plus, AA, AA minus. Talk to us about the different score levels. So when somebody, generally speaking, on this platform or elsewhere in the financial space mentions these alphabets, they have an idea of what they could potentially mean. So just describe South Africa specifically what the triple B means, but also take us through the respective levels from A to D.
All right. So South Africa has a triple B long-term rating and a B plus short-term. And this basically means that we view South Africa to be investment grade. As you know, investment grade is anything from triple B minus, which is a notch lower than where we have placed South Africa. And that is the lowest investment grade. And then all the way to triple A. So those are the rating scales, which are investment grade. Anything below triple B minus, such as double B plus, going down all the way to your C's and the D's, those are non-investment grade, and in fact, D means default, right? That's just to indicate that this country will default, or this rated entity will default. That's if it's rated D.
But in other words, it's not worth one putting money in that entity or in that so-called scored entity for the purposes of that. It's more than likely that they will not pay back any of its debts.
Yes, remember, ratings are also probability of default.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's close to your D rating, like it's a triple C rating, it means it's about to default, right? However, if it's still in the single B range or a double B range, that just means it is non-investment grade, or as they would call it, junk ratings. And that means its ability to meet its financial obligations is questionable.
Mm.
You know, it may fail maybe to pay interest payments, and maybe in the long run, the principal payments that it has to make. However, we view South Africa to be investment grade at triple B. And yeah.
That's the long term.
That's long term.
In the short term, you've given it a B, which puts it below that triple B plus. In other words, if you are at B, you're looking at non-investment grade, it's speculative, and to even highly speculative. What then about the short term creates a sense of tension or unease, which, if you look at then the long-term investment grade that you have offered the country, gives you more comfort? What is it that is happening now that you don't anticipate to be happening later on? Or what is it that is currently not taking place but you anticipate will take place later on? Because so, from B to triple B plus, it reads as though the short term is, or rather the long term is a better rating than the one that you've given in the short term. In other words, you're looking forward to something positive.
Okay. Just to clarify, the B plus on short term, it's not at the same level as a B in long term. You would note that the B plus, it's all investment grade. It's the whole triple B level, And you would note that from the AAA range all the way to the AA range, the short term there is just A+. So now it just depends on how the rating agencies design their rating scales, you see. But however, the B+ on short term on South Africa, it does not mean it's not investment grade. It's actually aligned to the BBB long term that it has.
Let's engage South Africa a little bit deeper as we call for more voice notes on 0614 104 107 or text messages to the same number. Of course, voice notes we don't have to say, but we say it anyway. Please keep the background noise to an absolute bare minimum. In other words, if you're going to drop us a voice note, please just mute the volume of whatever device from which you are listening so that we can get the crystal clear sound so that we can obviously flight it. And I would be more than happy to take calls on 086 000 2032. The Chief Operating Officer at Sovereign Africa Ratings, the new kid on the block, as it were, through Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya, are offering us the lecture that so many of us hear about at best, but probably know very little about. If I am anything to go by, that certainly is true. South Africa, this is very useful at a political level, as it is at a financial level. Now, this can obviously be used for political gain or loss, and depending where you are and where you are sitting, it becomes a politicized instrument. We'll get there in a minute, but South Africa, you are living in this country. Is there potential for one to have bias one way or the other in being in South Africa, being registered in South Africa and operating as an African entity to rate South Africa? In other words, how unbiased, how factual, or how dispassionate is a rating score?
A rating score, it's based on the methodology that the rating agency uses. So now our methodology is designed to be accorded consistently when rating any sovereign, right? And when it comes to the issue of bias, Sovereign Africa Ratings is a private company. It's also independent. We are not funded by any institution at all. So now,
are some funded?
One would have to look into that, actually.
No, but you say that as though it is something which is either not normal or not always the case. You are not funded, I accept. Would there be an agency that is funded?
That can happen.
Okay.
That can happen. And I was just clarifying that in terms of looking into the issue of independence,
yes,
we are completely independent.
Sure. Very well.
Yeah. So when it comes to the other rating agency, I mean, these are companies and they are from a certain country, you know. The big three are American. There are many other ones across the globe. Right, but a credit rating agency definitely can issue a credit rating on its own sovereign or the headquarter country.
Mm.
You know, we just decided to begin with South Africa because we are in South Africa, and even though our focus is on emerging markets, this will include your Latin America, Asia, as well as parts of Europe. And however, we want to start with the African continent because for the same reasons we rated South Africa first, we are African and we will be servicing the African region.
Probably also just to help with the narratives that go out there. So in other words, the emphasis on a particular aspect that the rating has to contemplate might rate or rank higher, say, for instance, with SAR than it might with a non-South Africa or an Africa-based ratings agency, simply because the context and the environment itself is foreign to them. Does that make sense, or is that completely out of whack in relation to how the score is achieved?
No, you're actually on point, because there has been discussions on how foreign rating agencies operate and whether foreign translates to an independent opinion, you know. And it's actually not true. Foreign just means foreign, from outside.
Sure.
You know, but in order for your rating opinion to be independent, you actually have to base the rating that you provide on your methodology And that analytical involvement.
Please hold the thought because I don't want to be interrupted by the break. We have to take a break, but we are coming back. That analytical involvement, we take from there.
Hashtag SAFM Viewpoint.
We're back. We are live. We're just having a conversation because it's actually quite interesting. And I'm trying to tease a lot of the stuff from my guest, Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya, Chief Operating Officer at Sovereign Africa Ratings. I had asked him a question in relation to the question of how relevant, if you like, or how accurate would a rating of a particular sovereign from an external agency be if, say, some of the issues that are better understood by those coming from that same community are not as well understood by the ratings agency outside of that community. Do you want to carry on from where you had left off, please, Willie?
Yes. So the credit rating assessment is based on the methodology and models that the rating agency uses, right? And then there's also the aspect of analysis. So now this is where the lead analyst would be involved to ensure that the numbers are actually making sense, and also consider projections as well as budgets that the rated entity has in place. And also to look into aspects that are qualitative in nature, you know. And then this may affect the rating somehow. However, it should be noted that in terms of regulation, and this is a requirement, an individual is not allowed to actually accord the rating. Now, since it has to be the rating agency that issues this rating, the rating is accorded via a rating committee. So this is where all the analysts or a number of relevant analysts of a rating agency sit and discuss the rating that is presented by the lead analyst. And then together they need to vote and agree on what the rating should be.
On that, the question is, who are these analysts? I mean, there are a few things that I wish to engage on there. So there is the template or the model that is used. Is that universally applicable, or is that applicable only to that ratings agency?
Only to that rating agency, because remember, these are intellectual property. Each rating agency designs its own.
And how long is that model applicable? In other words, once you are registered, say, with the Financial Sector Conduct Authority using this particular model, that's the model you will only ever use until you apply to the authority to change it. Is that how I understand it to be? Here's why I'm asking this question. I could have model A to rate country X and be like, I actually want to change the model or amend the model or somehow affect changes to it to rate country Y. Is that a possibility? If so, how and how often?
Okay, so that should not happen. So there's a requirement in terms of regulation that a rating agency must update its methodologies or review its methodologies at least annually. And during that process, if there are any changes to a methodology, the updated methodology is then issued for market comments. So market participants are always aware of what the methodology says and any changes thereof. So you cannot now all of a sudden have another methodology that is not published that you can use. You can only use your methodologies that are published.
Very well. Now, there are two parts to the coming to a scorecard. There's the numbers against the methodology, the template, the model, and then there's the analysis. And I think this is obviously where the room for contention might possibly exist. In other words, who is this analyst? Where is he or she drawn from? These analysts who then get to sit in a room and make that decision to give that particular ratings card, who are they drawn from? And what do they bring into the room to have this rating score? Do you want to comment on that? In other words, the room for Songezo to express himself as opposed to Songezo deduce the facts before him, that fine line.
Okay. So the analyst is quite important, and they have to ensure that when they accord or they do the ratings, they need to apply the methodology as well as all the models. And from that point, an indicative rating will be had. And then the analysis continues. This is where the analyst will actually look into the qualitative factors, also guided by the methodology, you know. And then after that, they would have a rating that they can then present to the rest of the analysts in that specific rating agency, who would then deliberate on how they came, the lead analyst came to the rating, and they would have to vote on it to ensure that they agree, because a single analyst cannot have his or her own agenda, because the rating belongs to the credit rating agency, and the credit rating agency will always uphold its reputation, because that is the biggest resource that a credit rating agency can have.
How many people typically would form part of that committee that votes?
Anything from 4 to 7. There's no limit in terms of how many analysts should be there, but you know, just to ensure that you're able to manage the conversation and the movement of information within.
Very well.
Yeah, it's usually around, you know, 5 or 6 analysts.
Of course, the sensitivity of this information cannot be understated. I mean, if a country were to know in advance what a particular credit rating agency is going to release in its name, one or two things would happen in advance. I mean, I'm thinking of insider trading in the typical financial market space, and I don't imagine this is a foreign conversation in this regard.
Yeah.
And perhaps you should let us know exactly the implication of the managing of information, or the rather the mismanagement of information a country knows in advance. I'm asking this really because you'll often be watching a business brief or a report saying that XYZ ratings agency is going to release its scorecard on South Africa, and it is expected that it will be downgraded. Where does that expectation come from?
So part of the credit rating is the outlook. You would note when we rated South Africa at BBB, we also had a stable outlook on it. So when it's a negative outlook, it means they're most likely going to downgrade on the next rating review. And if it's a positive, it means that likely to upgrade. And this basically just it depends on the projections that we made in the initial assessment. Yeah.
Does the rated entity, sovereign to use your language, engage with the representatives, however they might be compromised, of the sovereign so rated? In other words, in a legal sense, for instance, there's always a right of reply. I want to ask this question, think about it. We're going to have an answer after the break, because it's now 2050 and we have to take an ad break.
The Viewpoint on SAFM.
We are back. We are live. It's 2052. We have just shy of 8 minutes. Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya, the COO at Sovereign Africa Ratings, is here in studio. He's, of course, concluded his address or mini lecture, as we call it, to the role and purpose of ratings agencies, how such scorecards are determined, their implication. He is now talking to us in finer detail some of the issues that I just need clarity on. I'm quite certain you at home equally have one or two questions. I have seen a couple of voice notes come through. But when the conversation is South Africa is expected to be downgraded by X and Y credit ratings agency, we are talking about that. What it means for you at home as a consumer, for those who have home loans, for those who have made investments, for those who have invested in government bonds and the like. What does this mean for you and your pocket in the immediate term, but also what it means for you and your future in relation to how the country is being seen both within and outside? And specifically now, the question to Zwelibanzi is, to the extent that that committee makes the decision on behalf of that agency, is that agency in a position, or does it create room for the sovereign so rated or so scored to make representations prior to the final score being released?
Yes. So as part of the rating process, after the rating committee has concluded and have a draft rating report now ready, in terms of regulation, they actually have to send the draft reports to the rated entity and give them at least one business day to actually provide corrections to any information that's correct. At least one. That's the requirement.
Okay,
however, it's always best to move as fast as possible because most times you are dealing with confidential information, and although only the analysts will have access to it, because even within the rating agency, myself, who has a commercial role, I would not have access to any of their documents or even their office spaces. So the rated entity would then be able to provide any corrections for anything that is factually incorrect, as well as they're given the opportunity to provide any new information if it's now available, and hope, you know, in the hopes that maybe it may affect the rating outcome.
Let's take a couple of voice notes that have come through from you, the listener at home, wanting to engage the thoughts and the presentation of Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya.
Good evening. This is Jake Ray from the Western Cape. I just want to ask your speaker there what he reckons the role of rating companies were in 2008 when the world's financial systems basically came within 72 hours of total collapse. What was the role that the rating companies played there? Because I think they didn't do themselves a favor with regards to that. Thank you.
Hi, Sungezo. Tell me, why would anybody use the new kid on the block? Why don't they stick to the Moody's, the Fitch's, and those guys? They've got to pay money, I presume, to get a report from them. But they've got trusted records. They've gone back years and years and years of research. What has the new boy on the block got to do to build up a trust like those old guys have got? Mike East London.
Okay, thank you for those questions. I think they are quite related, so I can actually answer both in this manner. So in the 2009 financial crisis, the role of credit rating agencies was that they had to rate these mortgage bonds that were issued by the investment banks. And it was well known amongst the investment banks that these were subprime. However, they had prime ratings on it, meaning these were non-investment grade. And they had investment grades on them, like your triple A's, which means now that the investment banks would be able to sell these securities to your pension fund managers in other countries that want to invest in those securities. So the role that the rating agencies played there, and this is before regulations, they actually were incentivized to give better ratings for these securities, whereas they should not have been doing that. And that affected a lot of investors when that bubble popped in 2009, because definitely the people who were supposed to be paying those mortgages that these securities were based on, they were now unable to pay for their mortgages, because from the beginning the commercial banks were supposed to actually do their due diligence, which they were no longer doing anymore, because they knew they would just sell that debt book to the investment bank, who would then get it rated. And because they are paying, the rating agencies were incentivized to actually give better ratings to avoid the client going to the next rating agency for a better rating. So I think I also answered the second question, because it also speaks to the reputation of these long-standing rating agencies. And we can note that they are not always correct. And based on that, it's always beneficial for the investing community to have an additional opinion in the market that they consider for their investment decisions, as well as...
And who would that be?
Who be?
That opinion in the market.
The opinion, meaning the credit ratings.
Okay.
Yes. So it's always good to have an additional... credit rating opinion in the market for the investment community to consider when making those investment decisions. Also, specifically when it comes to sovereign ratings, it also can bring about stability in terms of the pricing of the borrowings, because credit ratings do affect the interest that the governments would be paying in terms of their borrowings.
Very quickly, and don't answer what may in any way impugn on the reputation of the institution that you represent, or worse, your character as an individual. Is it possible, yes or no, for a ratings agency to descend into the arena of politics in its work, and more importantly, in its product, being the rating of a particular sovereign? Is it possible that there might be an overstating of the politics as opposed to purely the ratings in a scorecard?
It is quite possible. It is quite possible, and it's very important as a rating agency to actually manage that internally with the rating analysts, you know, ensuring that the quality control systems in place are ensuring that the rating analysts are actually providing credit ratings based on their methodologies.
Well, I can't take it any further. Thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful experience. Chief Operating Officer at Sovereign Africa Ratings, Mr. Zwelibanzi Maziya, talking to us in the second such, the public mini lecture on a Monday, the first Monday of every month here on SAFM. That's it. The role and purpose of credit ratings agencies and how they do their work, it is now done. The time is 21 hours. A voice I haven't heard in a while, Ms. Nomsa Mdluli with the 21 hours bulletin.